Pastors John and Judy Engstrom have been with us several times before. They're our precious, precious, some of our very best friends. And they've actually been here on a bit of a journey these last several weeks, taking time before the Lord. The Lord has put on Pastor John's heart several books. He's in the process of writing them, and this has been a time that they've been able to be here and enjoy some time together. And so what I want you to do, we're going to pray for them, and then Pastor John and Judy are going to bring a greeting this morning. But I'd like you to extend your hands out to them. And we're going to honor and continue to bless this precious couple, these friends, these helpful overseers and counselors to our lives. And so we receive them, we love them, and we give them every blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Pastors John and Judy. Thank you, Lord, for what they mean to us as the family of God here, and what they mean to the body of Christ, Lord. The strength, the anointing, the vision, the insight you've given to them, Lord, and the books that you're birthing through them, the teaching mantle that abides. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you're going to continue to release that precious power and anointing, O God, to flow through them powerfully and preciously. Lord, we thank you that we get to see the fruit that comes from this time. And we will be those who partake and say, ah, good and perfect is the word of the Lord. Bless them, Lord, in their pastoring. Bless them in their overseeing. Bless their families. Bless their church, Christ the Rock Fellowship in Linwood. And bless them as they continue to oversee in the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International. We receive them, we bless them, we honor them and love them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Pastors John and Judy, we love you guys.
Well, thank you for your prayer and thank you for your greetings. I'm going to let Pastor Judy go first because I have learned in 44 years of marriage not to let her have the last word.
He has the last word, and it's yes, dear. Well, we want to tell you how much we've enjoyed being over here. What a treat for us. And we just thank Pastor Sherry and Pastor Kevin for making this possible for us. And we just love it here. It's hard to go home this next week, but you have such an incredible fellowship here. And I truly sense from the Lord that your name is right. There is a special grace upon you. And there is the seed of revival growing here. I can feel it in the Spirit of God that there is much to look forward to. There is much to look forward to. And God's blessing is upon you. And I think it's upon His church in a new way, but some aren't hearing it yet. But I sense so strongly that you're hearing the Spirit of the Lord. And I've just felt the Lord impressing upon me this last week to acknowledge His presence with us. To not turn and say, I don't feel the Lord. Even though we can't trust in our feelings. We have to trust in what we know in the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And He is with us. The Lord is with us. And the more we acknowledge His presence with us, the more our emotions and our feelings will follow. Because the truth is greater than feeling. And I just take my hat off to you today because you are sensing the Spirit of the Lord. And you are following Him, and we are grateful for you, and we're proud of you. I mean, I just feel the pride of the Lord here for your church and what God's doing here.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me just say I agree with that 100%. I know that as we listen to the voice of the Lord, He leads us into the next thing. Amen. And I believe in God suddenly. Suddenly things change. Suddenly He appears. Suddenly we go from here to here and we kind of wake up and don't even sometimes realize how we got there. But it is because the Lord came and brought something to us. I just want to give you a couple of exhortations and encouragements this morning that I feel upon my heart to share with you. One is, I just want to echo what Pastor Judy has said here this morning, that God, there's a special grace upon this congregation, and God has given you a special place in this community and in this county and this peninsula here. And I believe I've just seen the leadership of the Lord rising up in your pastors. And so I want to just encourage you in a couple of things this morning. One is, you know, I don't believe unless we fully appreciate what we have, are we in a position to receive what God wants to give. You know, that one of the things about Paul's concern for the last day was neither were they thankful. And that doesn't just mean, thank you, Lord. That means thankfulness is an appreciation that takes the thing that God's given and make it the maximum. God has given you two wonderful pastors, Kevin and Sherry Hunter. And, I mean, they're just incredible leaders. So, one, I want you to be thankful. But, two, I want you to stand behind them 100%. Okay? Because they will lead you. And they will feed you. And we know them. We have known them over 20 years. And I tell you, they are stable people who are on the mark with the Lord. But nobody can preach except they be sent. That means loved and appreciated and supported. And they need you just as you need them. And so I'm saying pray for them. Love them. If you have time, if you have energy, make yourself available to them just to be a practical blessing. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can help you with? Amen. Come alongside them. Sometimes as pastors, we're afraid to ask for help because we're always doing it. We don't want to be nags. But you can reverse that by instead of having to be asked, you can volunteer. It is possible in the kingdom of God to be volunteers. And in fact, there's a verse in Psalm that says, in the day of the Lord's appearing, the people will be willing. They will be volunteers. And so I encourage you, you know, I know some of you are older, but there's snow on the roof, but there's still fire in the furnace. We ain't dead yet. Don't act like it, you know. Don't let them put you in a box before your time, you know. Just, you've got something to give, give it. Amen. Come alongside and be useful. Amen. God took the willingness of a boy and used it to feed 5,000 people. When he gave him a little bit, God made so much of it. Because it's not what we've got, it's who we give it to. Because whatever we give to him is going to multiply. And so I just encourage you to do your multiplication tables as Christians, and take what you have and let God multiply it. Amen. It may not seem like much in your hands, but in God's hand, it will be much. And also, I just want to say, you know, you guys are blessed to have this building. Now, I know you don't own it. You're kind of here at the well-being of this resort and community that allows you to lease this place. But the Bible says, wherever your feet have tread, there I've given it to you. So I want you to own this. I want you to own this facility. This is, God's given us this facility. I've been in a lot of churches. You blessed. I mean, I would trade our monthly expenses with yours any day of the week. You're blessed, but possess this. Make it your place. You know, just come again. Make yourself available. Thank God for those who came trim the bushes this week. Lord bless you, and may He greatly increase the company of you. May you never have to do it by yourselves again. Amen. May there be a great group, a great company that arises to do it with you. You know, but it's trimming those bushes, sweeping those walks, trimming, you know, doing whatever, washing the windows, doing whatever you do. Own it. Own it, because if you own it, you don't know. Maybe God will give it to you. Amen. Jesus got through his ministry with borrowed stuff. He borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He borrowed a grave for 3 days because he wasn't going to need it that long. Okay. So the thing that's what I'm saying, own it. But then I want you to turn around and look at each other. Own each other. Own each other. Now, one of my favorite passages is I think it's in the Proverbs 30 or somewhere it says the locusts are little people, but they travel in groups. You know, and a whole bunch of locusts can eat up a whole countryside in about 5 minutes. You know, so own each other. You know, take care of one another. Watch out for each other. Reach out to each other. Love one another. Bind yourselves together as the people of God and let the Lord make you mighty. Okay? Then I just want to say something about the days we're living in. And in the process, Judy and I can give you a little testimony here. I know a few weeks ago you guys got together and you studied the Shemitah and the moons and all of those things. And I'm saying, I think God is talking. God is talking. Man, I remember in Northern California when the 9th District Court of Federal Court approved gay marriage. The ruling did not stand. It was, at that time, it was only in place for about 2 weeks. But the day that 9th Court made that decision to allow gay marriage, that day there was a terrible thunderstorm came across Northern California. The newspaper said it was a storm of biblical proportions. And 250 forest fires were started by lightning out of that storm. And if you looked on a map, they formed a perfect circle around Sacramento where that Ninth Court of Appeals was. Nobody was looking. My sister had passed away. We went to Redding, California about that time for her memorial service. And it was so smoky that the sun was turned to darkness and the moon was turned to blood. I mean, so, you know, is God speaking? You betcha he's speaking. Is he talking? Yes, he's talking. And is there Shemitah? Yes, there is a Shemitah. God called me in my Shemitah of 1967, which is one of those, the Jewish Shemitahs. He called me when Jerusalem was recaptured by the Israeli armies. The very day I heard that news report. And when the news announcer said, the Israeli army has captured ancient Jerusalem and they're praying at the Western Wall for the first time in hundreds of years, the power of God went through me like an electrical surge about four or five times. And the Lord says, this is the generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm calling you to be John the Baptist, a John the Baptist, not the John the Baptist, but a John the Baptist, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, that's been the calling on my life. But that was a moment. I was going to go be a forest ranger. I'd be out there fighting those fires today had I not been called by God. But that moment, the Lord changed my direction and spoke to me. That was my first Shemitah that I knew about or was aware of. Then halfway through that first 7 years, I met this wonderful woman. Just like 3.5 years later, almost exactly, I met her. And what an incredible blessing she's been on my life. 1974, 7 years after 1967, God called us and took us as pastors to the northern part of Utah where we pastored for 7 years. And then God brought us to Washington, 1981. That was a Shemitah for us. Amen. It was a great upheaval in one sense, pulled up by the roots and replanted here in the Northwest. We weren't sure how we felt about it. We kind of felt like Jonah spit up in Nineveh. But after we wiped off the seaweed and the vomit, we found ourselves in the will of God. But then 1988 was another Shemitah for us. That was the year that our church received a financial miracle that we were able to buy our land and build our building debt free. But it was also that year that the Lord Judy and I free from debt. All of our debts were paid as God poured out an abundant blessing upon us. Because every 7 years, that was the promise. The debts would be paid. The land would go to rest. You would be given a rest. And so in 1995, that was the first year that I went full-time on salary with Christ the Rock Fellowship in preparation to be the senior pastor there. That was another Shemitah for us. Amen. In 2002, 2009, God blessed us, lifted us up out of financial situations, set us free, brought new direction into our lives and in ministry at that time. Amen. Because there's two sides to a Shemitah. If you're obeying God, it's one side. If you're disobeying God, it's another side. So the Shemitahs, for those who trust the Lord and are walking with the Lord, are something else. Now, we will watch judgment. Amen. In fact, if you read Revelation, when the seven seals are broken, a fourth of the force upon the earth burn with fire. When the trumpets blow, a third are burned with fire. So if you take a fourth of something and then you take a third of what's left over, you have only half. So, but what is that for us? I was going to be in forestry. I love trees. But there's something I love more than trees. I love trees of righteousness. And I love the kingdom of God. And I love the returning of Jesus Christ. And these things will happen in order for Him to return and for His kingdom to be established upon the earth. But I want to speak to you hope, because I know some of you lost 6% of your stocks this week. But the Shemitahs of the people of God are different than the Shemitahs of those who do not fear God and do not walk with God. Amen. Because the Shemitah, the seventh year, was not just a time of judgment, it was a time of reward. But I think it's also a time of response and reflection and readiness for what God's about to do next. And we're in a time, and we feel that in our spirits and in our hearts. And what do we do in those times? If you look in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, I'm not preaching, I'm just sharing, but, you know, I am a preacher, so you have to forgive me so how I get going here. But I just want to share this with you real quickly. If you look in Isaiah 7, verse 9, the second part of that verse, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. If you will not believe, you will not be established. If you look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, you see it in the positive, where he says, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Israel, believe on the Lord your God, and you shall be established." Now, in the Hebrew, that word believe is the word aman. It is the word from which we have derived our English word, and kind of a universal word, amen. Aman, it means to agree with. To believe is to agree with what God has said.
That's right.
And so the Lord says, if you agree, you shall be agreed with or established. Same word, aman. Okay? If we say amen to Him, He will say amen to us. If we agree with Him, He will stand in agreement with us. And so our amen is more than just, I like what that guy said. It's, I agree with it and I establish it in my heart that it might be established in my life. Amen. Okay? In Jesus, every time you hear Him say, truly, truly, I say unto you, that's amen and amen. Agree and agree. Agree twice if you have to, but agree with the Lord. Amen. So God's calling us to be agreeable with Him. And if we're agreeable with Him, He'll be agreeable with us. And let me just encourage you, love one another and be agreeable with each other. Amen. Pastor Kevin, thank you for letting me share this morning.